I'd like to talk about commitment to God, and like the Lord inspired me with the book of Ruth, story about her commitment to her mother-in-law, but most of all, it was in her heart, it was really a commitment to God. So we'd like to start reading a little bit here. The definition of commitment is dedicating yourself to something, such as a person, which you might could say in a marriage, that can be a long commitment. It's a life commitment. The way that God teaches us, till death do you part, can be many years. And to have someone committed that long is a decision that you have to have in your heart to stay with it and make something good out of it. A cause such as our salvation. When we get saved, we really don't get saved just for ourselves. But God has a plan for our life. And I can see that as I get older, how that God had a plan. He had a plan more than just saving my soul, which was a wonderful thing. I just never want to get over praising him for that. That's a wonderful thing. But when he saves us, he wants us to be committed to him. He did something great for us. He wants us to do our very best for him. And with that commitment to God, when we get saved and we dedicate ourselves to God and the Lord gives us Holy Spirit, then he gives us callings, different callings. Every one of us is important. I was thinking about, we went to Sister Field's appreciation dinner. Some of us here were there, besides myself and my husband, Brother Philip, Sister Janine, Sister Connie. There were several here, there that was here. But anyway, what I want to say is she said something at the end that really struck me. She had a picture of a puzzle, and that every part of that puzzle, if you try to put a round in a square, it won't work. But when it goes in its place, it's a perfect puzzle. And how that every one of you is very important to God. You all have a place in that puzzle. Or you know what I'm trying to say. It's an example. But you all have a special place in the church. And we all need one another. And we all need to lean on one another. We all need each other to bear each other's burdens, to encourage one another. But it all starts with having a commitment to God. When we have a commitment to God, we're willing to do whatever God tells us to do. Wherever he might tell us to go, wherever he might tell us to stay, whatever day what he might call us to do. The simple task, maybe of just cooking for your husband or doing, you know, sometimes we have to think that we're doing just great things, but we are doing great things every day, even in the simple things that we do. Or a husband working and providing for his wife and being committed to that. That's a great thing. So all of us working together, and in the, it overflows into the church. But when we have marriages, of course, the more we work on that marriage and get it in a perfect state, that overflows into the church. It makes the church better. So whatever commitments we've made to God, we want to do the very best we can to the very end. And it's not for our glory, but the song that we sang, "When I Survey the Wondrous Cross Upon Which Our Savior Died," I pour contentment on all pride. There's no pride in this. It's all because of God. It's all because we want to give him the glory. We want to be used of God because it glorifies him. It helps somebody. That's the beautiful life. Each day I'll do a golden deed. You know, every day we're doing things that is a golden deed. And it may seem small to us at the time, but it's really, I've been amazed at how people come back to me and say things that, to me, it was a small thing I did but years ago, but it meant something to them. So the closer we get to God, the more we're committed to him, the more that God will use us. Are you committed to the cause and service to God? You know, it takes being committed many years sometimes before you go to heaven, of working and praying and watching and praying and doing the very best you can, overcoming trials and tests of life. Life is a wonderful blessing. But life comes with trials and troubles and tests also. But if we can learn how to turn those into a blessing, there's a way to do that. And like Brother Philip said this morning, the spirit of the saints. How did you just word that? It was the spirit of God's people. You know, there's a way to turn everything into a blessing. God said all things work together for good to them that love God, to them that are called according to his purpose. If we really believe that God can turn everything into good, we can get some good out of it. Even if it's a chastisement, even if it's a correction from God, we can still learn from that. In the book of Ruth, we're not going to read, of course, every word of it, but you know the story, but we want to read some of the highlights of it. But to tell kind of a history of this was, you know, that Naomi, her husband, there was a famine in Bethlehem. There was judges, and they weren't doing just right, so God had sent a famine there, and they went to Moab. Which Moab, Ruth and her sister-in-law weren't taught about the true God there. But the mother-in-law took her and taught her the truth and taught her the true church of God, kind of similar to what happened in my life. Jerry's grandmother, and I know a lot of you here have heard that story, but we're trying to teach about Ruth. But it stands out to me that way. But she loved God, and Naomi made such an impression on her, which lots of times, even in Luke somewhere, it talks about mother-in-laws and daughter-in-laws sometimes have variants or have issues. But in this case, it doesn't have to be that way. And saints, if you're really saved and sanctified, and that mother-in-law is saved and sanctified, it does not have to be that way. It can be a blessing. And she loved her mother-in-law, and she loved the God that her mother-in-law served, and she wanted to go with her. And, you know, it says, you know, the husband died in Michalek, and he died, and then the two sons died, and Naomi felt like, I'm just going to go back to my people, going back to Bethlehem. It was the beginning of the harvest, the barley harvest, which was a perfect time to go back, really. And she decided, I just need to go back to my people. Things are not working very good for me here. And she thought, I got to go home. We know, if we listen to God, and I think Brother Doug had a Bible study on that about being the shepherd, listening to the shepherd's voice. When God tells us something and we can hear his voice, we know when we're supposed to move or do it. We don't want to go before God, but we want to do what God tells us to do. Naomi knew in her heart it was time to go. And so when she started out, she told her daughter-in-laws, you go back. And she says here in the second chapter, and she said unto her, I'm skipping a little bit ahead there. First chapter, and she said, you need to go back. And they said unto her in the 10th verse, surely we will return with thee unto thy people. And Naomi said, turn again, my daughters. Why will ye go with me? Are there yet any more sons in my womb that they may be your husbands? Turn again, my daughters. Go your way, for I am too old to have a husband. If I should say I have hope, if I should have a husband also tonight, should also bear sons, would ye tarry for them till they are grown? Would ye stay for them from having husbands? Nay, my daughters, for it grieveth me much for your sakes, that the hand of the Lord has gone out against me. They lifted up their voice and wept again. And Orpha kissed her mother-in-law, and Ruth clave unto her. And she said, behold, thy sister-in-law has gone back unto her people. Now the one sister and law, she turned and went back. But there was something different about Ruth. Ruth was committed. She was committed. She had in her mind, I'm not leaving Naomi. There is no reason now, fleshly, my husband is dead. She's not really my mother-in-law, flesh-wise anymore. Have you ever had a relative or situation similar to that where you didn't really have to be a relative to them anymore? But you wanted to be, because you loved them. You fell in love with them. It happened with me with Elizabeth. Dad's second wife, Elizabeth. My younger children, especially, think of her as grandma. But she was in our family for 19 years. And when Jerry's father died, there was no reason I had to keep loving her. But I did. I did, because I she was around us a lot. And I loved her. She was my step-mother-in-law, you might say. But I remember going to California. I went to the meeting, but I especially went out there, too, also that time. I wanted to see Elizabeth before she died. And I did get to visit with her. Someone took me over there, some ladies, and I got to visit with her. And she cried and prayed with me. That was a sweet, sweet moment. But anyway, what I'm trying to say is this was the situation. She was not going to leave her. And she said, and Ruth said, and they lifted up their voice, and Ruth clave to her, "Behold, thy sister-in-law is gone back unto her people and unto her gods. Return thou after thy sister-in-law." And Ruth said, "Entreat me not to leave thee or to return from following after thee. For whether thou goest, I will go, and where thou lodgest, I will lodge. Thy people shall be my people, and thy God my God. Where thou diest will I die, and thee there will I be buried. The Lord do so to me, and more also, if aught but death part thee and me." When she saw that she was steadfastly minded to go with her, then she left speaking unto her. So they two went until they came to Bethlehem. So they began the journey. I don't know exactly what all they were thinking on that journey. But, you know, there's sometimes in our life we get in hard places like that. And, you know, and Ruth made a decision to be committed to God. And all saints, it's the most wonderful thing to be committed to God and be faithful to him. Because as the years go by, you realize how God has took you through so many things. And you're so glad that you stay saved. And you're so glad that it turned out the way it did. And you know it was the best way. And you want to keep doing that. We want to endure to the very end. The same shall be saved. It's a wonderful thing to have commitment to God. Be steadfast. And be faithful to God. God wants us to be faithful to him. And do our very best. And, you know, just keep trying. And Ruth, she was just going to stay right with her. This is a very wonderful love story. It really is. And Ruth loved her first. She loved God and she loved her. And she wasn't going to let go of her. You know, I'm just thinking that day, if Ruth would have turned back and Naomi walked that lonely road without her, her life would not even turn out very good in Bethlehem. But because Ruth stayed with her and she went to Bethlehem, and later she found Boaz was a kinsman of hers, Elimelech's side. And she began to go to the field. We know the story, and he purposely told them to leave extra for her so she could glean it. She took the food home to her mother-in-law. What a blessing that Ruth was to her. That, you know, if Naomi had to go home without her, isn't it wonderful just to have somebody sometimes? I know it just makes a twofold cord is not easily broken. And then when we have Christ, that makes three. And just like they say in a marriage, you know, when we have Christ and then we have each other, it's a great blessing. And sometimes when we take little mini trips or something, and maybe if we can't have our husband, and sometimes I'll have one of our daughters that gets to go with me, it's a great blessing to have somebody, just to have somebody, you know what I mean? Or a good friend to go and do some gospel work with. And I know one's sitting here. But anyway, I just love all the saints, appreciate them, and it's wonderful to have somebody you can lean on, somebody you can be with, and I thank the Lord for that. So I imagine that Naomi's heart was just so full to have her, but she still didn't know exactly what was going to happen. But God planned a husband, Boaz, for Ruth. Wonderful, wonderful story. And so it goes on to say that, listen what Boaz had noticed. Do you know what? Others really notice your life more than you think they do. And Boaz the reason she got a good husband is because she was a good girl. He saw, oh, what a wonderful lady this is, that she would leave her home and leave her family and come with Naomi, her mother-in-law. She didn't have to do that. But she's fallen after God. And he noticed that. And the 11th verse says, and Boaz answered and said unto her, it hath fully been showed me all that thou hast done unto thy mother-in-law since the death of thine husband, and how thou hast left thy father and thy mother in the land of thy nativity, and art come unto a people which thou knewest not heretofore. The Lord recompense thy work, and a full reward be given thee of the Lord God of Israel, under whose wings thou art come to trust. Then she said, let me find favor in thy sight, my Lord. And he blessed her, and he let her have the food she needed. And he also admired her, and he desired her to be his wife. God put that in his heart. And so there was a near kinsman, and you know the story that he asked if he could have her hand in marriage, so to speak. It was a rule back then. And the near kinsman could not marry her for some reason or did not want to. But anyway, he was able to propose and marry her. And then out of that wonderful marriage, there's a little son, Obed. You know, this is a wonderful thing, this wonderful story. And so it says, when little Obed was born, they were married and they had a son. And the 14th verse of the last chapter, and the women said unto Naomi, blessed be the Lord, which hath not left thee this day without a kinsman, that his name may be famous in Israel. He shall be unto thee a restorer of thy life. You know what? That's kind of like the way it is with grandchildren. Grandchildren are a restorer of your life. Really. You see those grandchildren, and they love you, and they love you, and they want to be with you, and you're so important to them. And there's a love there that's so special. You're getting older. You're getting a little tired. I remember at Monarch, well, I might should say that or not. But anyway, I just was kind of tired, and I kind of was saying something about, well, just a few more days, a few more weeks, a few more months, you know, I'll be going to heaven. I really tried not to say anything down. Didn't really mean to be down. I was just kind of tired. But I think it'd be all right to say this. Little Jillian, she was with me on the golf cart, and she said, Mama, you're not giving up on life, are you? I said, well, of course not. Not with you around. I can't give up on life. I love you. But see what I mean? There's something there to live for. There's something to love. Someone to love. And if we don't have grandchildren, God has other things that can give us a reason to love. You're all needed. You're all needed. And God can put friends in your life that need you and all kinds of blessings he can put in your life that you're needed and you're loved. And so anyway, this is wonderful that she had took this little baby boy and they said, a nourisher of thine old age. He shall be unto thee a restorer of thy life and a nourisher of thine old age. For thy daughter-in-law, which loveth thee, which is better to thee than seven sons, hath borne him. And Naomi took the child and laid it in her bosom and became nurse unto it. And the women, her neighbors, gave it a name, saying, there is a son born to Naomi. Now this is something too. The baby was born to Ruth first. I mean, she's the mother. But they said, a son is born to Naomi. You know, it's just wonderful, isn't it? And they called his name Obed. He is the father of Jesse, the father of David. Now, you know, that was the lineage of Christ. So Ruth was actually, the lineage of Christ came through Ruth. A girl starting out as a Moabitess, what they pronounce that, but she gave her heart to God, and she loved the true God, and she went after the true God, and she was going to leave all behind and follow God. And she did that, and she made that commitment, and God gave her a husband, another husband, a good husband, and a home, and a child. And she had her mother-in-law until her mother-in-law passed away. I don't know the whole story after that, but it's a wonderful love story altogether. And it's a commitment to God. This is a commitment to God. This is what I get out of this. This commitment to God. There's also, we want divine love. We want divine blessings on our life. And Solomon 1:4, I wanted to read that scripture. Oh, you know, the Lord is going to bless us to all the days of our life when we have this commitment. Commitment is something very serious. You know, when I married my husband, I took it very seriously. My mother always taught me as a little girl, when you grow up and get married, now you need to stay married for life. You don't get divorced. And I feel sorry for anybody that's had to go down that road. God has mercy and love. And I know that it's not always easy for people in their situations, but God will help them to be saints. And I'm not trying to be critical in any way, but God's real Bible teaches us to death to us part. And we should strive for that, to be faithful and do the very best to be a good wife, a good husband. Work on that marriage. Get everything you can out of it. And you know, the bride of Christ and the marriage is a liken unto the church. You know, God likens it unto the church, marriage. And so we're married to Christ, and we want to be the very best we can. We want to be committed to him and be, we're his bride. We want to be faithful and do the very best we can. And this, and over here in Solomon 1:4, it says, draw me, we will run after thee. You know, the Bible says, draw nigh to God and he will draw nigh to you. So we want God to draw us and we will run after him. Run after him. You know, when you, have you ever been in the airport sometime and you've seen somebody coming home and maybe their girlfriend or their wife was waiting for them and they had to go and they're running to them and they're hugging them and they're so happy to see them again. They're running after them because of love. You know, we can have so much for love for God that we'll run after him. You know, some people go after the world. They go after fleshly appetites. They go after all kinds of things. But the saints go after the Spirit, like we heard this morning. They go after godly things. They go after righteous things. They go after the Bible to read it. They go after prayer. They go after all the things connected with getting closer to God. They run after him. They're committed to him. You know, that's what I also wanted to read. Something that really got out of this was, you know, in our relationships with people in our lives. Lord, help me to find it here. But our relationships with people, we need to, here it is. We need to learn this one thing, okay? This relationship she had with Naomi was real special. When we in our relationships are parting by death or otherwise, it is very comfortable if we have both their testimony and the testimony of our own consciences for us that while we were together, we carefully endeavored to do our duty in that relationship. This will help the bitterness of parting. I'm going to say this in the marriages, especially. Do your very best so you have no regrets when that one leaves. We don't know which one will leave. Same in the church with one another. Forgive. Be long-suffering. Love. Put the petty differences aside. Do your very best. So if that one would part, that you could not have a conscience of regrets. But this will help the bitterness of our parting. Part with prayer. God deals kindly with those who have dealt kindly with their relationships. Always remember that. When we deal with others kindly, God will deal kindly with us. And the opposite could be true. If we don't deal right, we won't have it good for us. 1 Timothy 5:14. I had this. Well, let's read 4 and 7 of 2 Timothy. I have fought a good fight. This is Paul. I have kept the faith. I'm sorry. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Henceforth, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but unto all them also that love his appearing. So this was Paul's testimony. This can be our testimony. It's not talking about a carnal fight. It's talking about a spiritual fight. I have fought a good fight. I finished my course. I have kept the faith. Is this the way we want to be when we come to die? I've got it all clear. I got it clear with man, and I've got it clear with God, and I have done the very best. I've tried. We all make mistakes. We all can think that way, but I'm just saying mostly we've tried our very best, right? We've done our very best. We've served God. We've made a commitment to him. We've stayed with it for years and years and years because we still love him. And we're still thinking of him. I made up a little song the other day, and I didn't write it down because I was driving. But I was like this, kind of like, I've been thinking of you, Lord. I've been thinking of you every day. I think of you. I read the Bible. I pray. I think of you. Will you think of me? You think of me when I need you? And he does, and he has done it. He's delivered us from many things. That's the way it is. When we think of God, he thinks of us. And he has good thoughts toward us, and he loves us, and he wants to help us. So we just want to know that the Lord wants to help us. I wrote down a few little things, that not much more, but I thought about Abraham Lincoln. He lost many times that he tried to win elections. He lost them, but he kept perseverance. He kept trying. He didn't give up. And then his Ann Rutledge, he was in love with this woman. If you read, I've got a book about Ann Rutledge. And he loved her. And they were engaged to get married. And she took sick and died. And he went to the grave. And he wrote a poem, something about immortality. But he was in great grief when he lost his love. And he had many obstacles in his life. What I say that about him is he kept trying. He went bankruptcy a couple times, I believe it was. He kept trying. He became the president of the United States. And many people think he was one of our best. Abraham Lincoln. But he didn't give up with adversity. This is the thing. Be committed. I know that's something a little different, but still, it's a life story of someone that was faithful of trying to accomplish what he felt like he should do. And he had a place. I believe God does rule in people's hearts, and he has places for them in life. The man that wrote, it's in our blue book, but there's a song, Jesus, Lover of My Soul. That is one of the most beautiful songs. I don't know if you know that song, but it is one of the most beautiful. And it said the man that wrote this song, he was walking along. Was he one of the Wesley brothers? I believe so. He was walking along in the rain and in an overcoat. And this little bird flew into his overcoat while it was raining. And that song was born from that. Let me to thy bosom fly. See the little bird. Let me, Jesus, lover of my soul, let me to thy bosom fly. Like the little bird came into his raincoat. And I think it was his brother or something said, you know, that's just too mushy. It's too lovey-dovey. That song, you know, isn't going to go anywhere. But I think it was that way. So he was not going to try to do anything with this poem. And I think he tried to throw it away or something happened. But then they got it back out and it became a song. But see, what I'm trying to say here is don't be discouraged when these things happen to us. People say, oh, that song isn't much or that, you know. Don't, you know, keep going forward. Keep being faithful. Keep being committed. Keep doing your best. Keep trying. Don't let things like that hinder you. Brother Austin Wilson, years ago, he told about when he was a young minister, that son said, you've missed your calling, Brother Austin. You've missed your calling. You need to pray about when he was real young. They just said he was, well, he probably was starting out. He probably was having a little difficulty, but he just kept on, and he became one of our most wonderful ministers. I mean, I love Brother Austis Wilson in the Lord, you know what I mean? And I got a lot of good out of him before he died. I talked to him and his wife, and I got to be close to them. And you know, I love his teachings. He has lots of teachings. If you ever go to Dallas, Texas, they've got a lot of his tapes on the wall and different things. But anyway, what we just want to say today is, be committed to God. Don't get discouraged when things comes along. And Revelation 3:20 says, hold fast till I come. We want to hold fast to the very end. In Revelation 3:20, we want to be committed to God. We want to be faithful to the end, endure to the end. It says, if you endure to the end, the same shall be saved. Revelation 3:20 says, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him and will sup with him, and he with me. Saints, spend time like the song was called about with Jesus. Take time to be holy. To him that overcometh will I grant to sit with me in my throne, even as I also overcame and sat down with my Father in his throne. So if we're committed to God and we're faithful to God, one of these days we're going to be an overcomer and we're going to make it. Pray for me.